going to be reading in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of the faith speaks on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. For by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Okay. Be praying for Bob Kirkner, who's in the hospital. He might have a complete recovery. Continue to pray for Earl Meshey. He's at home. And pray for Nancy Smith, that she's having some problems with her shoulder. She's not able to do the exercises that she was doing before. And Ken Weber, that he is doing some therapy over at the Park House. And just keep these in your prayers as well as anyone else. So Lynette Bainbridge, that she injured herself in a fall. So keep her in your prayers as well. So let's look to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we can come into your presence. Thank you for each one who is here today. And I ask your blessings upon each one of us, that you'd give us the strength and health that we need to go from day to day and to accomplish your will and to walk in the way that you'd have us to go. I just pray that your holy will might be done in the life of each one. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today, that you might undertake for them and restore them to health, meet their needs in every way. We pray for Bob Kirkner, that he'll soon be able to return home again from the hospital. And we pray for Earl, that you'd bless him and help him and strengthen him day by day as he has trouble breathing. We pray also for Nancy Smith, that you'll undertake in her life and help her to be content, and that you might just strengthen her in every way. We pray for Ken Weber, that he might soon be able to find a new place to live as he's trying to get into the manor. We pray that your will would be done there. Help him with his therapy. We pray that he would be strengthened, and that you'll meet his needs. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with our missionaries today. We ask you to bless each one of them and supply their needs, guide them and help them in their service for you, that they might be able to accomplish all that you have for them to do. We thank you for the privilege that we have to support some of the missionaries. We think also of Genesis today. We pray for them as they seek to help these young ladies, especially who are expecting children or who have doubts and fears. We pray that you'll undertake and meet their needs and give them the grace and strength to be able to minister to these who are having difficulties. We pray, our Father, also for our church here. We pray for the kids' club tonight, that it might be a time of blessing. We might have a good group of boys and girls that would come, and that we might have the opportunity of sharing the good news with each one of them. We ask you to bless and guide us as we look forward to this week. Help us to be good witnesses for you in our daily life. And we pray for First Friday, that we might have good opportunities, good contacts there in Phoenixville. And I ask you to just undertake in a very real way for each one. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who do know and love you. We thank you for your church and pray that your blessings upon those who are being persecuted especially. We know in some places it's very, very difficult to be a Christian. And we just pray for them. We pray that you'll give them grace and strength to remain firm and true. We do thank you for all that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have in him. And we just praise your holy name to know that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you, too, that you have created all things. We see it all around us and know that you are our Heavenly Father. We praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us and ask you to continue to guide us by your Spirit and lead us in everything that we do, that we might be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs, and ask you to just continue to give us wisdom and understanding as we seek to serve you. May our Lord Jesus be glorified in it all. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, here in chapter 10 of Romans, we find it discusses more in depth, perhaps, two kinds of righteousness. We've talked about the righteousness of God. This is the overall theme of the entire book of Romans, is the righteousness of God. Man's desperate need for it, how to obtain it, and what difference it makes in our lives. Paul points out that there is another type of righteousness that people often settle for. And that, of course, is self-righteousness or legal righteousness, trying to justify themselves in the sight of God by their own efforts, thinking that they're okay the way they are. This is the righteousness of man, which God does not accept. And the scripture says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So let's look back here for a moment, chapter 9, verse 30, to get caught up. Verse 30, it says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So he's discussing here, how could it be that the Gentiles, the pagans, those who had no background whatsoever in the knowledge of the true and the living God, how could they be justified when Israel, who had the scriptures and had all the promises of God, going all the way back to Abraham, were not justified? Why is that? That's the question that Paul is bringing up here. How is it that Israel would not be saved, whereas many of the Gentiles were? Now, the answer we find here, he talks about faith. Because they sought it not by faith. You see? It's faith in Christ, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, that brings about God's righteousness. It says he's the end of the law for righteousness, isn't he? And religion, which the Jewish people had a great deal of, and I guess many of the others did as well, worshiping various gods. They had their own religion. People today still say, I've got my religion. You know, I don't need anything else. But you know, the trouble is that religion is not the answer. It is not. It was not the answer for Israel, and it's not the answer for us today. Religion is man's efforts to find God and to be in a right relationship with him. What can I do to be saved, you see? That's it. And what following after trying to climb the ladder, so to speak, to get to heaven on our own, in our own way and by our own efforts, but we fail every time. Because that's not God's way. And it says in one place, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see? We try the best we can to reason things out. Oh, yes, I can do this, I can do that. But that's not the way. That's not the way to procure God's righteousness. We can't do it that way. He has his own plan, and we have to follow his plan. God provided one way of salvation, and that is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him, trusting him, confiding in him, making him Lord of our life. Many refuse to accept and stumble over him, as it talks about here. He says, I have set this rock of offense in Zion. Jesus came and he didn't fit in with the rest of the religious leaders. He had a different way of looking at things. And so they stumbled over him. They stumbled over the rock. And whereas it says, whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. So we have here the, he's the real foundation. We had that not too long ago, I think, in Kids Club about building on the right foundation. You remember the man that built on the solid rock and the other one that built on the sand. And what happens? You know, you build on the sand, you splat. But if you build upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, then you have a solid foundation for your life. And it will not crumble. So he is this rock that we can build upon. So coming back to chapter 10, excuse me, I'm still trying to get over this cold. Sorry. I was doing pretty good for a while, wasn't I? Sorry. It gets stuck in my throat. Okay, we have the two kinds of righteousness that we're talking about here. Self-righteousness. Paul starts out, he says, I have a great desire and a prayer for God to save Israel, that they might come to know what it's all about, that they might really be redeemed and saved by the grace of God. Because I see that they have a zeal of God. You know, they mean well. You think of Paul, before he was converted, he was a self-righteous Pharisee, wasn't he? He goes through, excuse me, I don't know why that started, I really don't. Anyway, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Let's take a look there. Oh, boy. Well, let's read verse 7. It says, "For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So here we have Paul said he's willing to lay everything aside, all of his pedigree, everything that he had accomplished as a Pharisee, to receive Christ, because it's far better. All of the other was not according to knowledge, as he says here. They are following after the wrong goals. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, you see. And a lot of people make that mistake, don't they? They think, you know, well, I'm not so bad. I can make it, you know. God will surely overlook my faults, won't he? Not really. Not really. He has a plan for each and every one of us, and he says, you come, accept Jesus as your Savior, and you have righteousness. If you don't, you don't have the righteousness. Simple as that. So Paul here had to submit himself to Christ in order to receive the righteousness of God. This means that Christ is the goal that the law pointed to, and in Christ the law is fulfilled and is no longer needed. And let's look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's the purpose of the law, to bring us to Christ. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So here he says, you know, you were under the law, yes, but that led you to Christ. And now, in Christ, we don't need the law. He sets us free. Okay, now Paul uses two Old Testament references here in this verse 5 and on down through verse 8. It says Moses. Now this is over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, he's saying, if, you know, if you're going to follow the law and you do what it says, then you can have life. But the problem is that no one does everything the law says perfectly. There's no one. And so there, we can't be saved by keeping the law. That's the problem. The other one is in Deuteronomy 30, where Paul uses this scripture to say that we do not have to do something extraordinary to have God's righteousness. He says you don't have to go up into heaven, bring Christ down again. You don't have to go and bring him up from the deep, out from the dead. He's already here. He's already alive. He's already accomplished the work. You don't have to do anything else. Just receive God's righteousness and rejoice in it. It's readily available. And we don't have to work our way into God's favor. We simply yield ourselves into his hands. Allow him to work in us. So how do we receive God's righteousness? He goes on, verse 9. This is a wonderful passage. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, isn't that simple? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. You know, the word Lord in the Greek was kurios. And kurios was used as a title for the emperor, whom the people were required to worship, right? And also it was used of God. Kurios is God. And to say that Jesus is kurios, is Lord, means to say that he is God. And that we are giving our lives to him. It was giving him the supreme place in our life, just like you would to God himself, to the emperor. These people had to pledge allegiance. So we pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. He was pledging him explicit obedience and reverent worship. So one of the commentators says. So we have to make Jesus the Lord. He is, well, he already is the Lord. But we have to admit that for ourselves. Yield ourselves to him. He is the Savior. He is our Lord. And you have to believe in your heart, that is your innermost being, that God raised him from the dead. So it's important to know that he has the victory and that we can look to him and know that he has conquered death and we are saved because of him. And then it says to call upon the name of the Lord. This is how we can come to know Christ. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no difference, he says, between the Jew and the Greek. Doesn't matter what your nationality is, what your ethnic background is, what color you may be, it doesn't matter. We all come the same way and call upon the name of the Lord, and he has promised that he would give us his righteousness, that we would be justified in the sight of God. So what's God's plan then for us as Christians? Verse 14, he talks about here how God reaches out to other people and kind of a missionary message here. It says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So here he's talking about God's plan is that a preacher has to be sent, someone. Doesn't necessarily have to be a reverend or a doctor, but someone has to go with the message, right? We send missionaries out to other places to spread the gospel. A preacher has to be sent. He preaches the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sinner hears the word. He believes the message. He calls upon the Lord, and he's saved, right? That's the way it's done. And in verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, that's the important thing. What message are we taking to these people? The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, he arose again, and he's living forevermore. The gospel. And we have to believe that in order to be saved. Paul concludes the chapter then by saying, there is no excuse for rejecting this salvation that God has given us. We have a responsibility. You know, we saw in chapter 9, God's sovereignty. It sounds like God does everything, right? But then if you read here in chapter 10, you find that man has to respond to what God offers. If he doesn't, he's not saved. It's, this is the part about man's response. And he says, these people have already heard. He says, you have to hear the word of God in order to be saved. He says in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, I know absolutely there may be some tribes someplace that haven't yet heard, but basically the world has heard the gospel, right? And we have all kinds of opportunities, and especially Israel here had the scriptures long before anyone else. And Moses taught them, and and yet they did not receive the message. They rebelled against what God wanted them to do, you see. So it comes back down to that responsibility, doesn't it? You know, what are we going to do with what God has given us? He's offering us. And we have to be willing to receive what he offers and yield ourselves to him. He says in verse 19, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, these Gentiles. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. It tells us in other places that God makes the Jewish people jealous by the Gentiles coming to Christ, and it should make them want to enjoy the same privileges. But Isaiah, he says, he quotes here a number of different verses. first of all from Moses and then from Isaiah. He says, Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. You see? So God in his grace and mercy revealed himself to a people that had never known him. And they responded, yes, I'll receive it. Whereas Israel refused. And he closes it out. He says, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, a contrary people, people that refuse to accept, that rebel. And so that's the condition today. But we know that we'll see in chapter 11 that God is not finished with Israel, and he will keep his promise. He will bring them to himself eventually. But here we find the righteousness of God. That's what we want. Our self-righteousness is worthless, and we need to yield ourselves to him and allow him to take control of our lives and to guide us in the way we ought to go. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today. We do ask you to bless as we come to the communion table today and remember all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, going to the cross and shedding his blood and allowing himself to be crucified for our sins. We praise you and thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus. And I just pray that each and every one of the people who are here today would understand fully and completely what it means to be righteous in the sight of God, and that it's a matter of our faith, not of any works that we could ever do. Jesus did all that was necessary to save us from our sins. May we, each and every one, make sure that we really, truly know him as personal Lord and Savior. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name.